Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. The churches of Christ have contended for years that God has provided a pattern for the church. For example, the church must have a certain kind of government, must engage in certain kinds of work, and have specified acts of worship because that is what the Scriptures teach. There are religious teachers, including some renegade teachers among churches of Christ, who insist that no such pattern exists, or if it does, we could not know it. One book goes so far as to ask if incest in the church at Corinth was a part of the pattern. The same book raises the question about the racism which existed in the church at Jerusalem. This is an attempt to turn the church of our Lord into a denomination. Such an attempt must not be allowed to succeed. We must remain faithful to the divine pattern revealed in the Bible. One question often raised by those who deny a biblical pattern for the work and worship of the church relates to holy kissing. Does God require holy kissing as an act of love and respect for our brothers and sisters in Christ? If it does, how can we discern whether pattern for the church begins and ends? The Apostle Peter urged his readers, "Greet one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus." 1 Peter 5:14. Paul gave similar instructions to the church at Rome. "Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." Romans 16:16. Is holy kissing, or a kiss of charity, a part of the divine pattern which is to be observed in every generation? Or was it just one way of showing affection and hospitality? As most of you know, if you have observed what many people from the Middle East and from Eastern European countries practice, kissing as a greeting is still a custom among some people. You no doubt have seen Arabs and Russians kiss on first meeting, or when they were renewing friendships. I have seen Russian men actually kiss on the mouth, and not because they were homosexuals. They were friends or acquaintances who practiced kissing as a means of greeting one another. Frankly, I would prefer some other kind of greeting. The early church did not invent the practice of kissing as a greeting. It was widely practiced in the Middle East. Dion Woods' commentary on Peter, John, and Jude makes these appropriate comments. Peter's words were designed to ensure that the custom would be observed in keeping with the morality and chastity characteristic of the high calling of Christianity. Pages 136 and 137. Dr. A.T. Robertson says that the abuse of this custom led to its confinement to men with men and women with women, and to its final abandonment. In other words, holy kissing ceased when the kissing ceased to be holy. Was the Lord binding holy kissing or a kiss of charity, or was He binding friendliness and hospitality? In the West, handshaking is our general method of greeting our friends and loved ones. Although in close family relationships, hugging and kissing are acceptable as a means of greeting others. There is no attempt on the part of Peter or Paul to bind a custom from the Middle East. But there was a need, and there is one today, for Christians to be friendly and affectionate. I do want to insert a brief comment for some of my younger preaching brothers. Be exceedingly careful about your relationship to the opposite sex. Some great men, like King David, have destroyed their influence and injured the church by being too friendly with women other than their wives. Henry Ward Beecher, one of America's most famous preachers, destroyed himself by sexual attachment to the wife of one of the leaders in the church where he preached. Never engage in any activity which causes people to doubt your sincerity and your commitment to the cause of Christ.